waiting to see what the movie is on Joe Bob.
Okay, I didn't understand what you're saying. Sorry.
Yeah, like a movie.
Parse that. So the excitement's killing me. What's the movie?
I'm waiting for him to announce it.
Okay, well, in the meantime, welcome to week 868 of the Crankcast, a very late week. In fact, it's after dark.
What?
Cat. Needy cat. Anyway. So, how you doing?
It's Dario Argento.
Okay. Well, that limits it some.
What's this called? What the fucking kid on me what it is? Stop it.
And we're off to a rousing start.
You smell, Floyd.
Perhaps you should bathe him with your tongue. That's how cats like it, you know.
I'm sorry I've been making you wait. I don't know why he's doing this.
Maybe he just likes teasing you.
Well, I mean, it's not like... I'm frustrated. How are you doing?
Is it the Murder Monkey movie?
That would be Phenomena, no.
Is it one of the ones people really don't like the ones in the 90s?
Or I don't know. It's Memorial Day.
Like Mother of Tears or something? I think. Isn't that one of the ones people tend to not like by him? Possibly it's one of the ones that, you know, stars his daughter. One of the many.
I don't know. He's just going over all the terrible names that Argento had.
Like his alternate titles for the movie?
No.
Oh, just movies in general?
Oh, Tenebrae.
Oh, okay.
I've seen Tenebrae.
That's that one they remade a couple of years ago, wasn't it?
Oh, I haven't seen the remake.
Am I right? They remade that?
I like Tenebrae. It's really fucking weird, though.
Was that the one in the dance school?
No.
Which one was that? I know I've seen it. I get some of his movies mixed up sometimes. In my head.
Tenebrae is the one where the writer goes to Rome and somebody is killing people, like in his books.
Oh, okay.
Tenebrae. And it turns out that he's the killer. Spoilers.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense, and there's some kind of psychic thing going on.
There were some other Giallo movies that were like that. I mean, similar plot. Like,
yeah,
somebody working on a movie and then deaths in the movie are being reenacted in real life or whatever.
Yeah.
Well.
Sorry I made that whole little intro miserable by not really paying attention.
Well, now you know. So, let me tell you.
What?
I don't know. I finally figured out, I was getting a whole bunch of noise in my amps up in my office space. And at first I thought it was just because I was playing single coils, but it was even pretty noisy with humbuckers. And I finally figured out what it was and what changed in my office, because it was something that wasn't happening like a couple years ago. And I tracked it down to my light bulbs.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. When I had one single, like I've got overhead.
It's the wiring in your house, right?
Say what?
So it's the wiring in your house, right?
Well, yeah and no. I'm assuming, like, okay, up in my office space, I have two overhead fans. It's because, you know, my office space spans the front to the back of the house. It's like one big room.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, in one section, I've got an overhead fan, and then I got another one in the other section. And I used to have just, like, one, I don't know, it was like 120-watt equivalent LED bulb in each fixture. But I wanted something that would, like, kind of spread the light out better. So I switched over to these adapters that, like, you screw them into a single socket and it makes three of them, you know? And mm-hmm. you can angle them out to, like, point the light at different directions and stuff. And so I switched to three, like 3 40-watt equivalent bulbs instead of 1 120. Because I didn't want it too bright in here, because that hurts your eyes after a while. But after I did that, I didn't even make the connection. Like, when I made the switch over, I guess I just, because I probably switched from playing humbucker to a single coil more often or something like that right after, so I just assumed it was a single coil for a long time. But then I started playing around with stuff because it started getting really noisy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know, I can't, this is dumb, I can't just keep listening to this, you know?
Right.
So I started doing things like I turned off my computer, thinking maybe it was some sort of like interference from the power supply or something. But I didn't think at first to turn off the lights because I needed the lights to see. But then eventually I was like, okay, I've tried everything else. You know, I've got nothing running downstairs. I've got the computer off up here. What's left? And I'm looking up and I'm like, oh, okay. So I flicked the light switch and immediately the noise stopped. So I had to buy some like a floor lamp type things to space around when I want to, like, say, record an amp or something.
Yeah. Or why don't you get, like, those LED-like things?
They are LED things.
Oh, they are.
Yeah, and I don't know what's causing it, because it didn't do it when I had a single bulb in.
Mm-hmm.
With, a equivalent power rating or whatever. So I don't know if it's something to do with, like, having three of these bulbs wired together, or if it's just I switched to a different brand of bulb, too. It could be the brand of bulbs causing the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because something in the LED circuitry is like causing interference or something, I don't know. But I've sorted it out and I figured it. So, So just a tip for people, if you're out there and your amps are getting really noisy, even when you're using humbuckers or something, try playing with stuff in your power supply. Maybe switch out your light bulbs. Yeah. That's a Crankcast tip.
Bolt of Crankcast tip.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, guys? It's a Crankcast tip.
Yeah. And this week has been weird.
Why?
Bad weird. Because, like, in the space of a week, we've had 2 mass shootings in the country.
Oh, yeah. That's no good.
And I'm saying this half-jokingly, considering it's more of, like, a whistling past the graveyard thing. Because, mm-hmm. you know, this most recent one involving kids, like, little kids, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the fact that, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm like, again, this is more of a, I don't know, like I said, whistling past the graveyard. But one of the kids had to protect herself by covering herself in her dying friend's blood and playing dead.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I heard that.
And my first thought was, oh, I bet she's seen horror movies.
I don't know if that's true.
Because I know I've seen that in movies.
Yeah.
You know? Like, my second thought was, so much for good guys with guns, because the police waited outside for like an hour before they went in.
Right.
So fuck them.
Yeah.
And fuck that argument. And, you know, fuck this whole NRA Second Amendment shit, because that wasn't even a thing before my lifetime.
Yeah.
It was started in the 70s and then in the 80s. They, yeah. like, made it this thing where, you know, goddamn Americans got the right to own any goddamn gun they want, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, you know, given the current Supreme Court's bent on originalism in the Constitution, it seems to me that they'd want to say, okay, well, you can own a gun, but it's got to be a musket loader. because that's what was intended by the people who wrote the Constitution. They, muskets, you know, you loaded the fucking gun one ball at a goddamn time.
I thought the NRA was bankrupt.
They are, but they're still pretty powerful at the moment.
Crazy to me.
Yeah. And what's weird to me is, like I said, this is in our lifetime that this shit's happened. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They really rose to power and prominence. I mean, they've been around for like 100-something years.
Yeah.
But they really rose to power starting in the 70s.
I really want... I don't say this on social media. I probably shouldn't say it out loud on a podcast, but I really want some of these Congress people to get caught in their own mass shooting. I really do.
Well, I mean,
and see what happens when that happens. If they do anything then.
I can honestly say that it is a rare occurrence that I wish death on anybody.
Yeah.
So sure. I can't quite go along with that.
I've been doing it pretty much weekly since 2016.
But in a truly ironic universe, that would happen.
Yeah.
You know? But even then, they wouldn't get it. They'd still insist on arming everybody just to protect everybody else. Which isn't... sure, if we were living in a war state, which we are, kind of, but it's a war state they made.
Yeah.
And, you know, Yeah, it's rough.
It's pretty bad. I've been kind of depressed a little bit about it this week.
I can't imagine being 11 years old and going through that shit.
Yeah. No.
I mean, I had problems when I was 11. I never had that kind of problem when I was 11.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
I mean, that is literally something an 11-year-old should never go through, period.
Mm-hmm. We don't have kids. Imagine our friends with kids.
I don't even know what to think, man.
It's pretty rough. It's pretty terrible.
And the answer always, you know, from the Republican side, and, you know, fuck Republicans, honestly. At this point, just, I don't know what else to say about them. It used to be, well, you know, maybe we can talk some sense into them. No, now it's, they can go fuck themselves, you know?
Yeah.
But their answer seems to always be, oh, yeah, there's been a mass shooting. We need more guns.
Yeah.
How is that a fucking answer?
Yeah.
Like,
my thing is they're not willing to do, like, they can still have all the guns they want. All they need to do is say, there's a law here, and you have to, background checks. You have to do that. They won't even do that.
Yeah, it's the stuff it's stuff that's being proposed that's called common sense law.
Yeah, you know? They won't do that. They refuse.
No, in fact, they've repealed things that were, I mean, Abbott, even here in Ohio, I've talked about this before, even here in Ohio, they've repealed the concealed carry laws that require training and licensing to conceal carry.
Yeah.
So now just anybody can go.
Who does that help? What? Why is that? Why would that even be something that people are? Why? Who does that help?
Well, and in the case of the shooting in Texas, the most recent one, you know, because the concealed carry stuff, you know, pertains to handguns, and that's not even what the guy used. It was long rifles, which are a whole different set of rules, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And they were made in. Back in the times when, you know, long rifles were, again, muskets. They were, you know, as they got more advanced, they were bolt action, single shot shit. I mean, we're not talking, right now we're talking semi-automatic weapons that can be easily modified to become nearly automatic weapons.
Mm-hmm.
With bump stocks and trigger cranks and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are not hunting guns. These are weapons of war.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, and that goes back to what I was saying. We're in a war state that they've created. Because they allow this shit to happen.
Yep.
It's like, I don't understand why they don't... Why can't we even just do shit like they used to do with fireworks in certain areas where you're allowed to buy them, but you're not allowed to use them, kind of thing? Like, or whatever, you know. Or do something like, okay, you can buy all the guns you want, but we're not going to sell you any bullets.
Mm-hmm.
You know? In fact, Ted Cruz tried to get the sanctions against Russian bullet imports lifted.
Why?
Because according to him... You know, all the gun people relied on cheap imports of Russian bullets. How fucked up is that, dude? But that does show a weakness. If we get rid of the cheap ammo, you know? And I don't know, you know? It's just really like...
Some of these people need to go anyway. And I think that would be a good thing.
I just don't know. And the thing is it's not even like these guns are cheap. Like one of those AR-15s, like the Texas gunman used, it's like mm-hmm. $550.
Mm-hmm.
I think. Somewhere
Where
around there.
Did
I mean,
get that money?
I mean, that's not cheap, you know?
Where did that kid get that money?
I don't know. Probably got it from his grandma that he shot.
Oh, right.
I don't know that that's where he got the money. I'm venting. I'm being pissy. But
did she live?
Last I read, yeah, she was shot in the head. But she called the police and the emergency services and was taken to the hospital.
Mm.
So I assume whatever the wound was, if she was able to be coherent and actually call emergency services, she was probably salvageable.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, man.
Yeah, it's pretty messed up. I've been feeling it this week, and, you know, I've been on shaky ground as it is mentally for, you know, I'd say pretty much all year, and haven't really managed to shake it. It's been pretty messed up. Talked to Marty about it today, actually, because, you know, he thinks it's insane. He's European, so.
Oh, yeah, everybody outside this country thinks we're insane.
Yeah, so. And I'm like, yeah, it bothers me, too. You know, I've seen two dead people on my street since I've moved here.
Jesus.
You know, so.
I was reading something about it. There was an article that was talking about an Australian comedian that was talking about gun stuff, but the stuff he was saying was like, so Australia, back in, I think, I can't remember how long ago it was, I'm getting my dates mixed up right now because it's late, but they had a gun masker with a semi-automatic weapon.
Uh-huh.
And so the Australian government said, oh, okay, we're going to ban those. You know, nobody can have them. And, you know,
everybody but us, that, I mean, and they have Scotland too, and they did the same thing.
But they haven't had one since they banned them. In fact, when we did have a ban in the U.S. on semi-automatic weapons, the, you know, rates of gun deaths were lower. And then almost immediately after, you know, repealing that, boom, they started shooting up.
Mm-hmm.
Guns right now are the leading cause of child death. How fucking insane is that?
I didn't know that. Yep. That's crazy.
Like, teens and under right now, guns are the single leading cause of death. That's just, what do you say, you know, how do you look at a fact like that and just go, oh, you know, thoughts and prayers. Well, God isn't fucking listening, all right?
Well,
thoughts and prayers don't do shit for anybody but make the people who are saying that feel better about themselves.
Yeah, it takes a lot to go out of your way to sound like a villain in an 80s movie. And they do it on a regular basis. And it's like, do you hear yourself when you talk?
Yeah, you know? At least the villains the villains in 80s movies, you knew they were going to lose.
Yeah, that's the big thing, right?
So, like, you know, this reality, oh, you know, they might just actually win.
Yeah, I think that's the whole, that might be a big part of the depression is that, yeah, you know, we've been brought up to believe that these guys always get theirs, and it doesn't seem to be happening.
And I'm sure here and there are some of them that know they're wrong, that they're doing bad things.
I would say that a lot of them know it.
No, that's the thing. I'm going to hazard a guess that most of them think they are right. They think they are the good guys. They are the heroes.
I think a lot of them know that they're not. I think that they are faced with enough stuff on a daily basis to know.
I don't know. I mean, most of them, I think, are pretty delusional. So it's not a far reach to say that, you know, they probably think they're good. They're doing good God's work or whatever, you know. Sorry about that.
Oh, it's fine. You gotta do what you gotta do.
It's just been frustrating. It's like anything. I know there's not a lot, me personally, that I can do about it. Mm. And that is frustrating.
Right.
It's like, because, I mean, especially that whole, you know, what you need to stop bad guys with guns is good guys argument. Because, yeah. Nine times out, you know, they talk about arming the teachers and arming the stuff. Well, they had armed people at that school.
Mm-hmm.
The cops were there within minutes.
Mm-hmm.
There were 12 minutes that guy was wandering around outside the school.
Yeah.
And they knew about it. And then he got into school and he was in there for like an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these are people who are trained to deal with this situation, who are paid and trained to deal with this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how, you know, having somebody with a gun doesn't mean that they're going to be able to perform, is what I'm trying to say, I guess, you know. Probably especially civilians. They're saying that basically we should arm all the civilians. Well, you know what? Probably 9 out of 10 of those people are going to lock up instantly. The 10th one that doesn't lock up probably can't shoot for shit. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's part of the appeal of semi-automatic weapons. You don't really have to have a great aim with them.
Mm-hmm.
You can just fucking spray a room or whatever. And I am completely venting because I'm not making any really good points here, I guess. I don't know.
Nope.
So we'll take it in a different tack. We'll go somewhere else with this conversation.
Go.
Trying to think of what else I can talk about. Something that's less, less something. I'm working on a new project. I had a rush job this week.
Mm-hmm.
Came to me because it was an issue two. The letter that did the issue one had a scheduling problem.
Mm.
And I guess this occurred because the issue two had to get bumped up for like preview purposes, from what I understand. So they approached me to letter it, and I had a little bit of flex in my schedule this week, so I was like, okay, yeah, I can do that. So I had to letter like 32 pages fairly quickly.
Mm-hmm.
This week. I bumped one thing a couple of days in the next week and then got done with the other stuff I had to get done with earlier in the week, you know, kind of thing. Wasn't like that was the only thing I had to work on this week or anything. Because 32 pages in 1 week wouldn't be much of a rush, you know? So that was fun. I got done with that today. I don't want to name it because I'm not sure if I'm supposed to be talking about it yet.
Okay.
Because it's a new thing that's coming out. But it was something I was kind of intrigued to work on because it was the artist was somebody I liked. So that was cool. I've been working with Kevin Millen. He's doing a trade of his. There was a 3-issue thing he did about 10 years ago called Suicide Sister.
Mm-hmm.
And he's putting together like a short run collection of it. There's a con coming up at the end of the month, I think. And the next month, or middle of next month, something like that. I can't remember what show it is that he was talking about, but.
Oh, is it,
It's not.
It's the one in Charlotte?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, Heroes Con.
Yeah, Heroes, that's it.
Yeah.
So he's putting together just I guess you'd call it like a vanity press.
Sure. I mean.
It's just short run. He's doing like.
There's really. I mean, I don't even know if that's a thing now, because, I mean, so many people self-publish.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't call it vanity.
He's just doing, like, a, you know, 50, 100 runs, something like that, just to collect these 3 issues and some extra material together. It's not like a full-on, it's more like a, doing us, like, because we were having talks about how to set this up, because we had to figure out the page count and stuff like that so we could get a quote on it.
Yeah.
And, I was like, well, do you want to just set this up like it's just one really big comic issue, you know, as far as pages go? So, you know, we've got like an IFC and stuff like that, and it pretty much just jumps straight into the story. And we're running the story like contiguously without chapter breaks or covers inserted in between or anything like that. Which I think is kind of neat to do on a thing that's supposed to be like one big story, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times, most times in trades and stuff, you'll see it where, like, they'll break the book up with, like, chapter pages and use the covers and stuff like that in between. And that's cool, but I think there's something to be said for doing it this way, too, because it doesn't interrupt the story flow as you're reading it. It reads more like an OGN than a collection of 3 separate books.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of cool. We're getting that together so we can send it off to press next week. I have to... It's the first time I've had to do a book map in ages, so I had to, like, kind of remember how to do it.
Yeah, I hate those.
And, you know, they're not necessary, per se. I mean, you could do the same thing with, like, a bunch of sticky notes on a wall or something.
That sounds so much harder.
Well, I mean, the writing's harder, but with sticky notes, like, you can physically just rearrange shit real fast, you know?
Oh, that sounds like a nightmare.
But I'm using a spreadsheet to do it with, essentially. It was, something I got from another project I was working on like ages ago. So I just, whenever I need one, I just pull it up and use it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easy just to plot out where your pages need to go so you don't fall into traps like spreads being on odd evens instead of even odds. Stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
And just so you know where stuff's going. And then when you lay it actually, lay the document out for the files, you know you're right, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Which isn't immediately obvious if you just try to keep it in your mind. So,
right.
It's one of those like dumb, it's really boring, but yeah. Once you do it, it's done and you know you're okay. So it's worth doing kind of thing.
Sure.
What else is new? Last year I bought this IYV guitar.
IYV?
Yeah, it's...
IV guitar?
Say what?
IV guitar?
Well, yeah, on Amazon they're called IV.
Yeah,
but
okay.
The actual company is IYV.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it stands for Inuyushin V something. It's like a...
I've heard good things about them for being, like suspiciously cheap.
Right.
They seem to be okay guitars.
Well, I bought it's like a weirdo Mustang knockoff. Except it's got a Jazzmaster-y kind of bridge to it.
Now, when you say that, do you mean a Jazzmaster bridge or do you mean like a Mustang bridge? Because most people replace the Jazzmaster bridge with a Mustang bridge.
Well, I'm sorry, not just a bridge. It's got like the tremolo and stuff.
Oh, the tremolo.
Okay. Or like Mustangs typically, like standard stock, didn't have a tremolo. This has the Jazzmaster Jaguar type tremolo, you know, the big plate. Tremolo system.
I forget what they call that. It's got a name, but I forget what it's called.
Yeah, I don't remember what it's called either. It's weird. Like, guitars with these are kind of weird because you get this strange resonance off the open strings that go past the bridge to the
tremolo system. Yeah, I've heard that the tremolo can be noisy.
Right, but that's just sort of a feature of these things. I guess some people think it's a bug, but it's also a feature. It makes them sound like what they sound like, you know?
Yeah, it just depends on what people like, I guess.
Yeah, if it annoys you, it's a bug, I guess.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, I bought their Mustang knockoff with the Jazz tremolo system or whatever. And immediately when I got it, because it's supposed to be like a vintage white or something like that, but the run I bought, it kind of has a slightly greenish tint to it. So depends on what. Say what?
Like a mint.
Not quite as strong as a mint.
Hmm.
Somewhere between that and like a ivory-ish. You know, not definitely not as yellow as ivory or like when white or goes to yellow, like on old guitars. This definitely has a more of a green, slightly green tint to it. So I what I did was when I first bought it, I went ahead and I replaced all the hardware that was silver with black hardware. And then I baked the, cause it's got sort of a custom, pickguard to it.
Mm-hmm.
I went ahead and baked the pickguard with a bit of RIT synthetic dye. And tinted it orange. So
interesting.
I've got this like kind of, you know, black hardware orange pick guard on a slightly greenish body, but it's actually pretty cool. I paid like when I first bought the guitar, it was like $110 from Amazon.
Now, given what I just said about what I've heard about, because I've played a Jazzmaster in a guitar shop. I've never really messed around with it.
Yeah.
But no. Hearing what I have heard about them, it would be especially, I would be especially wary of buying a super cheap one. You know what I mean?
Well, okay, so stock, when I first got it, before I did anything to it, out of the box, all I had to do was tune it up.
Mm-hmm.
And it played pretty damn good. Now, I don't know about the longevity of, like, the spring and the tremolo system.
Right. The action was nice and everything still?
Yeah, it was set up great.
Really?
Like right out of the box. Like I said, all I had
no like the only no, thing, like, only, sharp frets or anything.
No, it was all right. I mean, it was in better shape than, you know, some of the Squire stuff I've bought and stuff.
Yeah, I've never had a great Squire out of the box, but once they're set up and fixed, they're always really nice.
So this, yeah, I mean, right out of the box after I tuned it up, the only thing I didn't like about it stock right away, aside from aesthetics that I knew I wanted to change, was just that they loaded it with like, they were like 8 or 9s or something like that. And this is a short scale guitar. So 8 or 9s on a short scale guitar is like playing, you know, 7s or something like that, you know?
Well, I mean, I like that. But
I
talked about this before, how I'm not a real man.
Well, I'm just, you know, I grab stuff, like, really hard, because I guess, because I, you know, started out and grew up most of my time playing bass, so I had thicker strings to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
So playing something that was that light of a touch, immediately I was throwing the intonation off and bending chords out of shape and stuff like that while I was trying to play it.
Yeah.
So even if I would have left all the hardware alone and just switched up to, like, what I'd normally use, which 11s on a short scale are more like playing 10s feel-wise.
What's wrong, buddy?
Needy cat.
Oh, he's grumpy. Yeah, I was actually talking about that with Marty today, because I didn't really have anything for him, so I started talking about his guitars. And he had a Jazzmaster, and I asked him the same thing about the bridge, and he said the way that he fixed it was that he puts extra heavy bottom strings on his guitar, so it keeps the saddles in place, because that's usually what the problem is.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, yeah. He was like, I have, like, 56s on here. I was like, oh, so you 10s are heavy for you. And I'm like, oh, I get it. So he's like me.
Yeah, see, I'm 11s all the way. But, again...
My guitar teacher... My other guitar teacher uses 11s, and I'm like, I cannot believe that, because he's like a shredder.
I mean, I drop tune a lot, and, you know, I do alternate drop tunings and stuff.
I mean, yeah, sure, a lot of people.
Like, the 11s just keep a better tension, and they stay in tune better for me than
ever. Getting heavier strings on it and putting them on one of my guitars, I have nightmares about it, because then you got to reset everything up.
Oh, yeah, you got to reset your intonation, bridge height, all that shit.
Well, no, I mean, it's going to change your neck and everything probably still.
It will, and there's a chance you might have to actually mess with the truss rod a little bit. Most times I haven't really noticed that. The worst thing I ever did find was on one of my Strats, which I think originally came with like 9s from the store. When I dropped my 11s on there, it immediately, you know, because the spring tension on the tremolo was set for 9s.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went to go tune it up, for one thing, it took me forever to get it tuned up. I'm sitting there like, what's going on? Why is this so weird? And then once I did get it tuned up, I looked down at the bridge and at the tremolo, and it was lifted up so far because I put heavier gauge strings on there.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to, you know, loosen up all the strings and tighten up the tension on the tremolo springs.
Mm-hmm.
But that was like the worst thing I ever ran into. One time I think I had to, most of the time it's just, you know, you have to adjust bridge height and stuff for it. If your guitar neck's really sensitive to, tension changes, then you might have to mess with the truss rod. I did have a bass like that where it was a cheap bass, so I don't know how strong the truss rod was in it. But it, like, I mean, even as I was playing it, I could just bend the neck, like.
Oh, weird.
Like, I mean, I'm not saying it was floppy like a big rubber neck or anything, but, like, if I grabbed it too hard or anything, I would change the shape of the neck a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't take well to heavier gauge strings unless I seriously down-tuned to match the tension for it, you know. But other than that, most times I haven't run into any problems with the gauges I use, so. I mean, once you get stuff set up right for it, it's fine. And in fact, like on my SG, it's, for whatever reason, I'm not really sure why. I mean, I went and set the intonation, the bridge heights, or the saddle heights and all that shit. I didn't touch a truss rod on it. But I've got 11s on it, and it feels a lot like you're playing like 9s or 10s for some reason. It's a pretty smooth guitar. Of course, I mean, that's a proper Gibson. So.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the only actual American-made guitar I own.
Right.
Nope, sorry, my PV bass, that's American-made. So, I own 2 American-made guitars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But anyway, going back to that Ivy, or IYV guitar. Yeah, straight out of the box for $110, that was an amazing guitar for that price.
Yeah.
And I've read great stuff about their other models, too.
I always hear about them. You see them on those guitar channels where they're always talking about the cheap guitars and It's like, can you believe you can get this on Amazon for blah, 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 blah? And I'm like, no, I can't believe it, because even the expensive guitars I've owned have always been temperamental pieces of crap. Can't imagine getting a guitar on Amazon and it'd be, like, perfect out of the box. In fact, I think you're lying to me.
No, I mean, it was, I mean, it wasn't perfect because, again, like I said, the string gauge was too light for me.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, for them not knowing my particular quirks, coming out of the box, it was a great guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I made my changes. You know, some of the stuff I had already and some of the things I had to buy, like, I had to buy a black Jaguar, Jazzmaster, whatever, tremolo unit, because, like, there was only two I could find online, period, that were black. And I guess I could have took the silver one and just scuffed it up and painted it myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't sure how well it was going to hold up, so I just went ahead and bought one. So that put in another, like, $40 in the price of the guitar. The pickups, I kept the same pickups. I just took off the pickup covers and painted them black and put them back on.
Mm.
And I already had the tuning keys, the string tree, the knobs, and the bridge.
So you basically rebuilt this guitar.
No, I just replaced some hardware on it.
Well, you replaced all the hardware, it sounds like.
Well, yeah, I did replace all the hardware, but I mean, like, you know, again, this is just, it's not like you're building a guitar, you're just slotting new stuff in where the old stuff was. But one of the things that I thought was a good improvement, even though I've read that under the tension that it's at, the rollers probably won't roll, as I put a roller bridge on there.
Yeah.
Because I figured even if the rollers aren't rolling, you still got a curved, smooth surface as opposed to an angle like that the original bridge had, where it's like a steep angle.
Yeah.
So I thought that would, you know, help keep it from catching and going out of tune when I use the tremolo system.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. And it so far it seems really good. I've been playing it a lot lately, actually. I've been trying to take a, you know, like, half hour or so every day just to step away from whatever I'm doing and just play some music.
Hmm.
Just to kind of give myself a break, I guess. Like,
mm-hmm.
where I don't have to think about the things I'm normally thinking about. So I've been playing that one a bunch, and it's... I like it. I like it a lot, actually.
Cool.
So, yeah, I definitely recommend checking them out. Like, if you're looking for a cheap guitar or something, just something to bang around on.
Guitars.
I'm not anymore.
What happened to the goal of the Rickenbacker?
I bought this guitar last year, dude.
Yeah, but, I mean, what happened to that? Are you still...
I picked the wrong year to do that.
Yeah.
I don't really want to talk about that publicly very much right now, but...
Too many things happening?
Just, money. Money.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't been... I mean, I've been sticking to my plan to not buy a bunch of shit, other shit. Like, to concentrate on saving money for that, but it's not the great year to be doing that for me right now. Like, even though I'm not buying this other stuff, I'm still also not saving the money for the Rickenbacker for other reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So, it may happen this year, I don't know. I mean, I'm also finding myself in a position right now where I'm trying to walk this line between making sure I've got enough work to raise money, but not saying yes to everything.
Well, let us start the Chris Crank Gets a Rickenbacker Fund for Crankcast.
I'm not
so everybody can go to our GoFundMe.
That we don't have.
We don't have.
Right.
And,
no, I mean, like, so I'm trying to do that thing because I know I've done this and I've talked about this in the past. When I say yes to everything because I feel like I need the work, and, well, I want the work. I like working. I like making money, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I know when I say yes to everything, something's going to give, and it's going to explode in a very bad way, and I'm going to screw something up, you know? Or I'm just going to work myself into some sort of exhaustion and like, being stuck in a fugue for days or something like that, you know? So I'm trying to figure that out. I'm paying real careful attention to what I've actually got on my schedule and what I think's coming up. And then when new work appears, I have to kind of judge it, you know, like, can I successfully take this on and not screw it up kind of thing.
Yeah.
Cause you know, you can't, I mean, maybe you can, if you got unlimited stamina and you only need like 3 hours of sleep a day or something like that, you could probably say yes to everything.
I used to say yes to quite a bit, but I I don't. Something's really changed in my mindset. Yeah. That's something I probably shouldn't go into on this show either. But I need to get my brain right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, something, you know, it's like I spent like a chunk of years just working myself crazy, especially, you know, since the pandemic when I didn't have anywhere to go anyway. I just threw myself into it and did as much shit as I could. Like, as much as I felt like I could take on, kind of thing. And I was working constantly, and I was working, like, long hours, and honestly, I'm not sure that, even though I did the work and I got the money and, you know, I had the pride of having this much stuff out, I don't know that that was good for my head.
Mm-hmm.
Because I literally didn't have time for anything else, like, basic shit, like vacuuming my house. You know? I mean, there were stretches, like, months-long stretches where I didn't bother vacuuming my house. So, yeah. I don't know. You know, it's what you find acceptable and what you can trade off to make room for other stuff a lot of times. And most people that have been at this for a while understand this. You know, they've been mm-hmm. through this themselves. They get it. So I guess I'm speaking to anybody that might be listening that's getting into this. Like, you've got to find a balance. Because if you let your work consume you, it will.
Right.
And that might be good for a section, but it really wreaks havoc on your social, like, connections to people. Getting things done that are practical. Because, you know, I will say that my worst day in comics is still better than any other day I worked at any other job.
Sure.
Because, you know, I am working in a field I enjoy. And I'm working for myself. I mean, even though I've got clients, I'm my boss, you know?
No, you work for me, bitch.
That ain't true.
Yeah, you do. Don't. Do what I say. False. Do what I say.
False.
Do what I say.
Bearer of false witness.
You doing what I say?
I don't think so.
God damn it.
It's not working.
Do what I say.
If you tell me to not do what you say, then I'll be doing what you say. Oh, that's a conundrum. That's like that question that trips up evil computers.
Mm.
Whatever.
Just like.
Swipe left.
Mm.
How you been?
Well, I mean, not great, but.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm all right.
How's that Les Paul treating you?
I haven't played it a lot. I need to.
Are you scared?
Maybe.
Do you find it intimidating playing such a valuable guitar?
Maybe. Hmm. But I'll get on that. And I'm just not practicing enough. I'm not doing a lot of stuff enough. You know, that kind of stuff. Very down on myself lately. That kind of thing.
I've been trying out some stuff that's like, I'm kind of approaching it as sort of, Dinosaur Jr. meets the Cars.
Oh, music-wise.
Yeah.
So it's poppy?
It's poppy and structured like the Cars, but it's sort of also very heavy and fuzzy like Dinosaur Jr.
That sounds good. That sounds...
You know, like, so, like, pop that cannot possibly succeed pop.
Well, I can't think of it that way.
Well, I'm trying to give it, you know. Like, examples. But, yeah, I've been thinking about that, because some of that, like, when I was kicking around the idea of doing a I don't know if you remember this. Okay, you remember Ryan and Jim's comic Trash Bridge?
Yeah, I remember Trash Bridge.
So I was kicking around the idea of doing a soundtrack for that, but that was, like, as if I were a bunch of different other bands from the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
So I had, like, my Michael McDonald song, my Car song, stuff like that, you know? And part of that was like, so I had those riffs still kicking around that were left over from that thing that I never did, partially because they only did the one issue and then it kind of dropped it.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had those riffs, you know, laying around for a while, and I was playing them again, but I was playing them with like a fairly heavy distortion and like through a 15-inch bass amp and stuff like that, but, you know, playing a guitar through a 15-inch bass amp.
Mm-hmm.
So I was getting these really heavy sounds, but I'm like, you know, I like this. It's big and poppy, and it's like stuff I liked about the 80s, but also stuff I liked about the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, maybe I can actually throw together an album of stuff like this.
That'd be cool.
So I don't know. We'll see what happens. But I got a handful of... when I say songs, it's mostly like I've got two riffs that go together.
Yeah.
And that makes a song. So I got to figure out like a bridge and, you know, arrangement and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And whether or not I'm going to throw in some keyboards too if I want to like adhere a little more to that 80s thing.
Yeah.
So I'm still like kind of just, I'm feeling it out right now, figuring out what I'm doing. But it's kind of fun. It's distracting me from like stresses of other stuff.
That's good.
Yeah.
And I'm happy for you.
Well, thanks. So how was your birthday?
Oh, right.
Yeah, that was last Friday, a week ago. Right. You're like 130 or something now, right?
I'm 49 years old.
But you don't look a day over 60.
I have now tied my father for life.
Well, that's one way to look at it, yeah. You sound like my dad at this point.
I've tied my father, so if I make it to next year, I will have reached the Norton, the Norton
limit?
Expiration date.
The Norton limit. I like that as being like a sci-fi thing.
Yeah, the Norton limit. So this is going to be an interesting year. That might be why I'm upset. A lot. This is like, there's kind of like this.
You feel like you're having an end of life crisis?
Yeah, it's like this fictional last year on Earth thing going on.
Hmm.
I'm not really excited about it. And I mean, you can't really do anything about it. I can't really. I've been thinking about this for decades. So it's
right.
Not like I can see a shrink and they can say, hey, stop doing that.
Right. I can't say I think it's silly or anything because I honestly was disappointed when I turned 28 because I didn't die a rock star at 27.
Well, that was your fault for thinking you were talented.
Yeah, well, I knew I wasn't, but, you know, that didn't matter.
Come on, man. Don't let me say that stuff.
But my point is I understand tying age to things, you know, like that.
Well, I mean, this is a little more than, this isn't me saying, hey, I didn't make it. I didn't do what I wanted to do. This is like, I'm just waiting for some incredible physical ailment to hit me. And you know, I'm not in the best of health. I feel crappy all the time. And I feel my age every minute of it lately. So,
are there things you can do to improve that?
I mean, I could be healthier.
I mean, are there things you aren't doing that are... Are there things you are doing that are contributing to how you feel, and are there things you are not doing that would make you feel better?
I don't know.
I mean, are you sort of self-reinforcing this gloom and doom thing you've got going on?
Well, very possibly. I mean, that's usually the way it goes, isn't it?
Making it, you know, a self-fulfilling prophecy kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I try. I don't smoke. I can't. That's the other thing is this new drug that I'm on. For diabetes, it's supposed to make just keep your sugar lower in general, but it also, one of the side effects is that it helps you lose weight.
Oh.
And one of the things about it that I've discovered that the reason it helps you lose weight is because you feel sick to your stomach all the time. You don't feel like eating.
Well, that's shitty.
And it has the same effect with beer. It makes beer just taste. It has no appeal to me right now.
Really?
Yeah, it turns my stomach thinking about it.
Huh.
It's like somebody put like the Clockwork Orange things on my stomach instead of my eyeballs.
I wonder if sort of as a how do I say, not stated out loud function of this medicine. Like, because, you know, a few years ago I was looking into just medications that would help, you know, stop drinking kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And they, you know, they make medications that essentially, like, when you drink, it makes you sick.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like aversion therapy, you know?
Yeah. This, I'm finding, is sort of doing that. I have been drinking, but it, not very much because I feel, like, grossed out by it.
I'm wondering
and
if part of
the, my hangovers are terrible.
Well, I'm wondering if part of the thing, like, if they're like, well, you know, we need to control, like, blood sugar and shit, right? So, sure. Like, alcohol can convert into sugar.
It can, and
plus the carbs in the beer.
So, yeah, sure. But so, I mean, what if we put a thing? When they say that diabetics shouldn't drink, it's because it lowers the efficacy of the diabetes drugs.
Well, yeah, okay, that's another reason. So I wonder if, like, kind of quietly, they actually did add something to this medicine that makes you averse to alcohol.
That sounds pretty shady. It seems like they would tell you about that.
Well, maybe it's in one of those really fine print side effect things.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Well, they definitely didn't list it. They did say that, I mean, they never tell you why you'll lose weight. They said that, yeah, there's a good chance you'll lose weight on this. And I'm like, okay, I don't feel like I've lost weight. I haven't weighed myself. I don't even think we have scale anymore in this house.
I have to overrate it.
Yeah. But I know I'm not, I mean, I'm not eating as much. That's for damn sure. Because, you know, for the first time in my life, I'm not finishing meals. Like, I'm leaving restaurants with, like, doggy bags and stuff like that.
And all those starving kids in insert name of country.
I mean, they're still starving.
Yeah. Your leftovers aren't really going to help them, right?
Yeah, I mean,
it's not like you can flash freeze them and send them over there or something.
No.
So when you say you feel sick to your stomach, is it like that lower kind of sick, or is it that sick that comes up around your solar plexus?
It is definitely the lower kind. Like, I don't feel like I'm going to throw up, but it is like I can't even think about eating anything right now. It just does not appeal.
Okay. Because I was going to say, if it
was... And it's not a, like, oh, I'm not hungry. It's a, I'm not hungry. You know what I mean?
Well, I was going to say if it was, like, sort of an upper, you know, like when, I don't know, when you get a little
I'm not sitting there going, oh, I'm going to hurl. It's not like that.
Well, I mean, like that, okay, so sometimes when, it depends on, like, I guess it's gas related? Like, it gets backed up around my solar plexus.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm going to puke, kind of thing.
Yeah. That's not what this is.
Okay, because I was going to say, like, with that kind of situation, I take some antacids and it seems to help, you know?
Yeah.
But.
No, I have been, it's kind of just low in the stomach, and it's not like even like a upset stomach. It's just more of a, like, you feel full.
Mm.
Like, the uncomfortableness of being full, like a bloated kind of grossness.
Post-turkey day. Kind of
like. Yeah, if you really went at it.
Right.
And
Didn't stop yourself from that third plate kind of thing.
Yeah, so you feel real gross, and nothing sounds good. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever, you know, where you're drinking a beer or several beers, and you get to a point where it's like, oh, beer tastes gross now. Like, I've had so much beer, it tastes gross. That's what I feel like.
I drink gross beer, so...
Yeah, that's true. So you don't know what that's like.
Is it anything like that thing where you drink too many liquids too fast and you get that sloshy stomach?
No. I don't feel like there's no, like, gurgling or nothing going on.
All right. I hate that sloshy stomach.
So in a way, I'm like, well, let's see where this goes. But on the other hand, it's just like, oh, this is another thing I don't need right now. I'm already feeling bad. I don't need this on top of it, you know.
That sounds very like a super low key Cronenberg kind of thing, you know?
Right? Yeah, right. That is it is sort of like that, because I'm just like, my brain's already telling me I've got 1 year to live, and now I have this going on. Right. I'm just expecting to look in the mirror and my eyeballs fall out of my head, you know, or my ears fall off or something like that.
You just like you see shit crawling under your skin or.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's that people are going around on Twitter and stuff joking about, because that new Obi-Wan Kenobi shows out, and it takes place 10 years after Luke is born, right? So okay. He's like 10 years old, and which means that Ewan McGregor on there in 9 years looks like Alec Guinness. And people are like, well... A lot can happen, you know, in 10 years. It'll make, and they're showing pictures of them 10 years ago with them now. It's like, yeah, I understand. You know, I was looking at a picture of me from, like, 6 years ago. And my hair is completely brown.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And now my beard is like, there's a patch of brown in it. And,
right.
Yeah, it's rough what... life can do to you. Now I got the hiccups.
Yeah, I look at certain older pictures myself, and I don't even recognize that person as being me. Like,
mm-hmm.
I posted that one on Instagram a while back. It was my graduation photo where I was standing with my dad. And, like, I'm looking at that kid, and I'm like, who the fuck is that? You know? I mean, I still recognize my dad fine, even though he looks different now. But me, I'm like, man, I don't even know that person. Like, or way back when I posted that picture of me with the, like, the super blonde hair and the tuxedo and stuff.
I remember that guy.
And I'm like, I don't, you know, I don't look like that anymore. You know, like, at all. It's just, I mean, time does shit to you.
You're like Madonna, though. You reinvent yourself all the time.
I express myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's true.
You were talking about... Oh, yeah, whatever you were saying sparked the thing about new trailers. I watched that Willow trailer.
Oh, right, yeah.
That looks really good.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, really, for what like
it doesn't tell you a whole lot, but... You know.
No, it doesn't tell you a whole lot, but, you know, Willow was a solid movie, and a lot of people forget about it. And, I mean, I'm guilty of that, too. It was just like, it was just generic enough, you know?
I guess.
That it wasn't, that it didn't, like...
It did cause me to do the Mad Mardigan braid for a while, though. That little braid behind the ear.
Right, sure. But yeah, it's one of those things where you're watching, it's like, yeah, I could get into this again. And then you see that shot of the group and you're like, oh, this could be like the Dungeons and Dragons show that we never got, you know? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's cool. I'm happy about that. You know, I'm more excited about that than I am this Kenobi stuff. I feel so burnt out on this stuff, you know. Everybody, was so excited about it, and I'm just like, yeah, you know what? I don't want to watch a show about a bunch of people that are already dead in the movies that I've seen.
Right. I've talked about this before. I have a very high threshold for how interested I am in prequels.
Yeah, I don't. I just don't care, and everybody looks at me like I hate joy or something like that, and
it's cool for the people that like it, or like the people that want the expanded universe stuff or whatever, you know, that's great if you want all that history and stuff, but frankly, learning all that history ruined Wolverine. You know?
We've talked about this already.
Oh, sure, yeah. I mean, I'm just not, even when I was a kid, and I'd read like, you know, I read a lot of books and stuff, and I'd read a book, and then all of a sudden a prequel book would come out or something for a series. And I'm like, I'd start reading it, and I'm like, yeah, well, I already know where all these people end up in the next series.
Like, you know what I do like? What I do like is that young little girl Leia is in it.
Hmm.
And she's fun. She's fun to watch. It's neat to see, because you never really... There's that moment in Jedi where she talks about what her life was growing up, but it's barely anything. She barely talks about it.
Yeah.
And, it's neat. It's cute. And I like that. That's more interesting than any of the other stuff to me. And that, I mean, granted, I've only seen half of the season premiere. It's like two episodes. So.
I think with the Willow thing, and this is partially because of a misapprehension on my part, was I knew about the Willow thing, but for some reason I thought it was a remake.
Oh, no. So, I knew that it was happening, too, but I thought it was a sequel movie. I didn't know it was a TV show.
So when I saw this trailer and I realized, oh, that's Warwick Davis, you know, I'm like, oh, cool. So this is like a continuation of shit later on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this isn't just a remake of the thing I already saw. Like,
mm-hmm.
Cool. I'm all in, you know, except I don't have Disney. So I'll have to wait until it comes to other media. But... from that trailer, I'm like, yeah, sure, I'm in. This looks good.
Yeah.
I watched that Outer Range show on Amazon.
Yeah, I watched that too.
I'm not sure I liked it.
Me too. And you tell me why you didn't.
I didn't like any of the characters at all. Didn't like them. I didn't even like the little girl. And if you watch it all the way through, you'll understand why.
Yeah, that's true, right? I can't say I didn't like the characters. I thought characterization was a strong point. But I do feel like they went cartoonishly out of their way to Twin Peaks it up a little bit.
Yeah, they could have done
this. They went out of their way to be, like, super weird.
And frankly, it took a lot of time to get to where it went.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
And this is only, eight episodes.
Yeah, the thing that you mentioned, I knew that was going to happen from the very beginning. And, because, I mean, you watch that first episode and you're like, okay, I know what's happening. You don't, but I knew that. And, it was, I don't know. I'm intrigued, but at the same time, I could see myself forgetting it exists and not watching a second season.
Oh, yeah.
If there is one.
And to explain myself, when I say I didn't like the characters, I mean, I actually just didn't like the characters. It's not that they weren't written well or anything.
Yeah.
But all of them were, like, bad people. Like, in some way or another, they were all, like, really self-absorbed or, like, you know, hyper-focused on things that hurt other people, stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
Or just out-and-out loony bins, you know, like... Like the one brother that sang all the time.
Yeah, they're like, we're going to make this guy that's especially Twin Peaksy, that guy.
Yeah, constantly singing the pop songs and stuff.
Yeah. But there were other things in there that were just like, this, I don't know, because it jumped tone sometimes.
I can see that, yeah. And just, I felt like the pacing was really weird in that show, too.
Yeah.
Like a lot of things. I mean, you know, stuff does tend to get rushed at the end. And that felt a little like it was jumping into, like, holy shit, we're just going to throw everything at you right now. You know, this revelation, this thing happens. Like,
yeah.
When you spent, like, 6 episodes building up to, like, really slow-paced stuff, kind of. Mm-hmm. And that's not that the show isn't interesting or that there weren't cool elements to it or anything, but by and large, I'm just like, eh. I got to the end and I'm just sort of like, all right, well, that happened. And I really didn't think that much more about it, except for, like I said, I just didn't like the people, like the characters.
Mm-hmm.
I have like a visceral, emotional, like, I don't like these people. Like, which, yeah. Maybe that was effective writing. I don't know. Maybe that was what they were going for. Because there weren't any, like, actual heroes in that show or anything. Everybody had some sort of weirdo, fucked up problem.
Yeah. And they seemed to, like, not... They made really anti-helpful decisions. Like,
why didn't he just tell them about the hole when he found it? I mean, I understand they tell you...
Yeah, I mean...
Sort of why.
They explain that in a way, but...
But you would think having... I'm trying not to spoil this for anybody.
Yeah, I know.
But you would think, given his situation, he would have been like, oh, you know what? This is... Okay, I should probably tell somebody about this.
Yeah.
You know, like... I don't know, man. But it's interesting enough that I talked about it. So mm-hmm. I guess that's the thing.
Julie was really mad at it. It was her idea to watch the show.
Yeah.
And she was really mad when it was over. She was like, she felt like she had been cheated in some way. But she doesn't really go for that kind of ambiguous kind of stuff, so.
Right. Did you guys watch it?
I enjoyed it a lot more than her.
I binged it. Did you guys watch it, like, as it came out?
A little bit of both.
Okay. I purposely didn't watch it. Like, I waited until they had all the episodes up and then watched it.
Sure, that makes sense.
Especially with this type of show, I would have been really frustrated if I watched it weekly.
Like, mm-hmm.
That would have just pissed me off at a certain point.
Yeah.
I think there was something else I was going to watch, or that I watched that I was going to tell you about. I'm trying to remember what it was. I've been watching a bunch of weird, like, old movies, like made-for-TV movies and, like, movies from the 30s and stuff like that. I don't know why, I've just been on that kind of kick.
That's weird.
But there was something I was going to want or tell you about. Did you ever see a movie called Mr. North?
Oh, with Anthony Edwards?
Yeah, late 80s, like 88, I think.
Yeah. where he has electrical powers.
Yeah, sort of. He just builds up static electricity and shocks people. But like, people...
It's sort of like the Phenomenon movie, or...
Well, and this, like, people just mistake that for being something, and their own, like, psychosomatic stuff gets healed, but it's not really him doing anything. Like,
yeah, it's really one of those movies where the whole idea is that people suck. You know, try to do something nice for them, and they'll always fucking let you down.
Pretty much, yeah, kind of. And you know, it's an okay movie, but what I found more remarkable about it was just the cast. Like,
right.
That had, like, Angelica Houston and, I'm forgetting what that older actor's name is. But he was, like, really big. Robert Mitchum?
Oh, right. He's the one he cures of his, like...
Bladder problems.
Crazy bladder, yeah.
Yeah. But it also had, what's her name from Some Kind of Wonderful?
Amy...
Was it Mary Stuart Masterson?
Is it? I don't think it's Mary Stuart Masterson. It's something like that, yeah.
Let me check that real quick. Yeah. It was Mary Stuart Masterson. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it had, like, her in it. I mean, of course, like, it was a younger her, because I think... No, Some Kind of Wonderful was, like, around the same time. The year before. Okay.
It was a year, only a year before.
Yeah. But, and it also had, there were just a number of, like, pretty... people that were either well-known at the time or became well-known shortly after, kind of thing. It was just another one of those weird movies that, like, had this, group of really talented people in it. But the movie itself was just sort of okay, which is weird. When you get that kind of group of people together, and you almost feel like they underperform or something, because the movie itself's not that interesting. I mean, it's okay. Like, it's not a bad movie by any stretch, but, you know. Also, I finally watched Taken.
Oh, really?
The Liam Neeson movie.
That's a pretty fun movie.
So, okay, there are like two or three other more after that one?
Yeah.
Are they all his daughter getting kidnapped?
No.
Okay.
The second one is... Isn't his daughter getting kidnapped?
Really? Because that seems a little, you know, like, I don't know, a little weird.
I forget. In one of them, it's his wife. And then there's one where he's like made out to be a bad guy or something like that.
Oh, sure. They got to take that twist where he's got to like prove his innocence or whatever.
Yeah.
They always do that in those serials. But, you know, for that first movie, especially considering I don't necessarily think of, when I think of action stars, I don't necessarily think of Liam Neeson.
Well, this is the one that made him one.
He just, that's... like, you know, just looking at him in his general comportment, like, you know, how he expresses himself.
I mean, he wasn't an action star before that. He became an action star, like, late in life.
Yeah, that's... But, I mean, that's...
That was the point of that movie, is that he was, kind of retired from all that stuff.
That's an impressive turn. Like...
Yeah.
Oh, I found the one I was going to tell you about. Okay, do you remember a TV show from... let's see, when was this? Early 90s. Okay, so 1992 was when this pilot was. A TV show called Raven, with Jeffrey Meek and Lee Majors.
Raven?
Yeah. I think it only lasted like a handful of episodes before it got canceled.
No.
Okay, I didn't remember it either, but it popped up on the pilot. They put the pilot together as a movie. That popped up on Amazon. I'm like, oh, okay, I'll watch it. So it's Jeffrey Meek and Lee Majors, and Jeffrey Meek is basically, it's weird, okay, because this doesn't make any sense, because the modern Snake Eyes movie just happened recently.
Mm-hmm.
But his backstory is sort of like a mix of the modern Snake Eyes backstory with the old Snake Eyes backstory.
Oh, really? I haven't seen the new Snake Eyes movie.
It's basically like it's an American kid that was raised up in like a Japanese dojo kind of thing or whatever. And his dad gets killed by like the rival ninja clan. So he infiltrates him and decimates him and becomes like an enemy of the ninja or whatever. But this was a show that came out in 1992.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of weird. I mean, weird in that sense. And, you know, it's a fairly straightforward action-y kind of thing. replete with, you know, girlfriend getting killed and stuff like that.
Yeah.
All those tropes, like. But it's something I think would fit in well with, like, the stuff you watch, kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So, look for Raven on Amazon Prime. And the picture of it's a guy sitting in front of, a Japanese building kind of thing in a black cloak.
Oh, nice.
Oh, and that brings something to mind that I forgot to mention. I put it in the show bug when we talked about it, but that Grizzly 2?
Yeah.
When we were talking about it, I did not mention the one thing that kind of makes it worth watching. Because I told people you shouldn't probably watch it. Because it's not good. It's dumb.
Yeah,
it's really bad. But you know, the one thing that might make it worth watching? It's Jean-Rhys Davies' portrayal of a French-Canadian trapper, yeah. Quint.
Yeah, French-Canadian Quint, yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
That almost makes it worth watching.
Yeah.
Because he's so weird in it.
And yeah.
And it's younger Jean-Rhys Davies, so he doesn't, look so haggard like he has.
Yeah, he looks like he could. Yeah, when I saw it, I was thinking, not even Sliders, Jean-Rhys Davies. I was thinking, now, and I was like, oh, God. But then when I saw him, I was like, oh, yeah, I buy it. He looks like he could kill a grizzly bear.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking, that was, a second Indiana Jones era, right? Jean-Rhys Davies?
I guess so. He wasn't in the second one, but.
Oh.
He was only in the first one.
He was only
Is he in the last one?
Was he only in the first one?
He might. Yeah, he's in the third one. I forget that. Yeah, he's in the third one.
Okay, so this was. Yeah, this would have been in between the first and third Indiana Jones era, Jean-Rhys Davies. So yeah, he was still a pretty vigorous fella at the time.
Would you say he was a sex symbol?
I do not have an eye for that because I would have never thought Donald Sutherland was a sex symbol, and apparently he was. He was considered one of America's sexiest men at one point.
Yeah, some people say that, yeah.
Oh, it's in record. He got awards or whatever for it. Which, whatever, okay. I don't have quite a good distinction of that stuff. I don't know. But sure, I'm sure some people would have probably thought he was a sex symbol. I mean, he wasn't too far off of a Burt Reynolds or something,
That's true. And Burt Reynolds was constantly being thought of as sex eye.
Yeah, I mean, the whole bear rug thing didn't hurt, but, the Playgirl spread or whatever that was. Yeah. I also tried to watch a Frank Zappa movie called 200 Motels.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that?
I haven't been able to watch the whole thing. I haven't been able to watch a whole Frank Zappa movie at all.
I don't know.
What's the one that, is it Head?
That's the Monkees.
Yeah, it's the Monkees, but he's in it, isn't he?
I don't remember. Is he?
There's some movie he's in that it's like that, where it's, I was just like, I can't deal with this.
I tried to watch this, because generally speaking, I like Frank Zappa music.
Mm-hmm, sure.
I don't like everything, but
Same here.
You put on a random selection of Frank Zappa stuff, I'm gonna like some of it.
I mean, we like Prog, which it's Prog adjacent.
Comedy.
If not outright.
I feel like he directly inspired a lot of that weird new wave comedy rock.
Yeah. He has lots of And I particularly am a big fan of witty, comedic, almost lyrics.
Like, I'm not sure there would have ever been a Dog Police without Frank Zappa.
No.
Or the Tubes or something like that,
Yeah, sure.
I feel like those are pretty much like direct descendants of his style of humorous music or whatever.
I would agree with you. I think that's a good observation.
But yeah, I tried watching this movie, man, and I got 20 minutes into it and just couldn't do it. It was some super self-indulgent, hippy-dippy, drug-induced stuff.
That's the the big part of that stuff is that it is among, I mean, aside from the drug crap, it is self-indulgent. It really is. It's just like, you guys really thought this was something when you made it, didn't you?
Like, you could tell, they were like, man, this is brilliant.
Yeah, you guys thought that, yeah, there was something here when it's really just, you guys are just really high.
It's, I mean, it's no Joe's Garage, you know. But, yeah, I tried, but I couldn't do it. Maybe if I was drunk or high? Possibly. I mean, I might at least.
I don't think being drunk or high has ever made me enjoy a piece of art. I'm serious. You know, they talk about that being an inspiration and stuff, but it's definitely not helped me enjoy any art. I'm pretty sure I've never created anything great under an influence of something.
I kind of
think. But I definitely haven't enjoyed something more because of it.
I kind of think movies like this, though, are geared to being in a certain frame of mind. You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they wouldn't exist if it were otherwise.
Well, yeah. They were probably pretty fucked up while they were making it. Like,
yeah. I mean, that's why they thought it was good.
Because, I mean, comparing the acting to being, like, you know, high school acting isn't even really doing it justice. I mean, you could tell they were kind of fucked up while they were doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And the delivery of stuff. You know,
there wasn't a moment where they weren't fucked up in those days.
Well, I don't know that, but, you know, still, you know, it was, I just couldn't watch it. That's all. Couldn't do it. No, sir. Anyway, I think that pretty much covers stuff I was watching, unless you want to talk about 30s movies.
No, I do not.
Or a weirdo 1972
movie. Save that for John Suntress.
Or a weirdo 1972 made-for-TV movie called Bat People.
I'm pretty sure I've seen Bat People.
I'm pretty sure you probably have. Yeah. Because it was definitely one of those types of movies. Also, Moon of the Wolf.
That's the Moon of the Wolf.
Which was another... that was the 72 movie. Bat People was 74. Moon of the Wolf was from 72, and it had... I don't know. It had David Jansen in it, Barbara Rush.
Mm.
But it was a made-for-TV movie about a town down in Louisiana. People start dying, and he realizes that, oh, this is a werewolf kind of thing. Mm. And they keep mispronouncing Lugaroo a lot.
Lugaroo?
Yeah. Lugaroo is a werewolf type of thing.
Mm.
But
Well, that's why whenever there's a murder going on, I go to werewolf first. That's my first assumption.
Well, I figure if you're wrong, anything you would do to take down a werewolf is going to take down somebody else.
Sure, exactly. You're covered. You are covered.
You might as well. I mean, you are not losing any kind of, like, advantage assuming it's a werewolf.
Go werewolf first.
Mm-hmm. Vampire distant third, though, because that's a little more special.
Yeah, I mean, that's just silly.
Yeah. And frankly, I mean, vampires, they're just so, like, decades ago.
Yeah.
But werewolves, you can't go wrong there, man.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you can. It's a fucking werewolf. You're going to die. But
yeah, I mean, at least a lot of people are going to die before you finally take the werewolf out.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to kind of hope it's not you, you know?
Yeah. You got to get one of those dog suits like they train the police dogs.
The big, like, Michelin Man padded
suits? Why have we not seen that in a horror movie where the guy's just going up against the werewolf in one of those? Like, even if the werewolf knocks him over, he's not getting through that shit.
No, he just roll away. Like,
yeah. So it's like you go up against him and that guy's like chewing on your ass and you're like, kind of tickles. Meanwhile, your friend's running up on him with a silver bullet. Boom. I've written a best movie ever.
Yeah, or while he's like gnawing on your padded arm, you just reach out and grab your silver dagger and just start shanking his ass, you know?
Anybody steals this from me.
Too late.
You know, like Mike Morisi's writing horror movies now. He's probably going to steal that.
We haven't even published this yet, and somebody else has already stolen it, so.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it, man. It happens.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the ideas, it's what you do with them.
That's true. I mean, I've seen that firsthand.
Yeah. Anyway, I guess that's, we should probably wrap it up. We went from angry and emotional to silly and stuff.
I feel like this was a long one. Was this a long one? When it's at night, I don't notice because I don't
have to go eat.
Yeah, I don't have to, like, there's not. I didn't even check the email or nothing. There's emails.
Are there emails?
Yeah.
Oh, well, go ahead. We can do this.
Captain Colin writes, hi, chaps. Where can I order some Stankaroni?
Well, I still got a couple of containers of it in the freezer.
Can you send, like, a cold pack?
I don't know. I don't know how that works all the way across the
ocean. I mean, yeah, dude, that's going to blow his, you know, his little UK mind.
I tell you, so, yeah, you know, when I make stuff like this, I make it in a big batch. So I have a bunch of it to freeze up or whatever.
Yeah, that's the lunch lady in you.
And, well, it's just, the thing is it's just as easy to make a bunch as it is to make a little when it comes to stuff like this. In fact, it might be a little bit easier to make a lot of it because you don't have to worry about the proportions quite as much. So I've been eating this, you know, reheated off and on. And I tell you, wow. I don't know that humankind was meant to know this kind of stank, man.
God. I'm so happy that you're so happy about your goddamn stankaroni.
Well, you know, some people get enthused about blue cheese and shit like that, you know? Yeah. Frankly, blue cheese makes me want to throw up. This is just super fragrant. I gave some to my mom and she's afraid to try it. So, there's that.
Did you describe it the way you've been describing it?
Oh, yeah. Well, she's
terrifying me.
She's tried previous batches of the Stankaroni.
And she didn't like it?
No, she was fine with the previous stuff. But I told her, I was like, yeah, I may have surpassed myself this time. You know.
She's like, what have I done? I created this creature.
Yeah. So, I'm not even entirely sure that it would get FDA approved. Like, kind of thing.
No, in fact, they probably take it off the market.
They might.
Like, this is not safe.
And I have no idea what kind of alarms it would trip as an overseas package.
Oh, yeah, good point.
I mean, we're talking like maybe chemical weapons alarms kind of thing. I don't know.
God.
Because it's edible. It's quite edible.
Mm-hmm.
But it's dangerous.
It's dangerous. That's what you want to hear in a food product.
I mean, this shit might hand you your ass, you know? So, I as far as where you can get it yet, I don't know. I'm still working out the details. I might have to tone it down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Back to previous levels of stank.
All right. He also writes, I saw a clip of Drag Me to Hell on Gogglebox last week. I don't know what Gogglebox is. It was the bit where the old hag attacks the bank lady in the car park. Now every time I close my eyes or go to sleep, the hag haunts me. Did she possess my soul? It's really giving me the willies.
Oh, you know, that's actually a real thing. Where you get haunted by a hag in your sleep. And, like, you wake up and you got sleep paralysis and you see, like, a hag floating over you. They actually made a movie about that. I can't remember what it was called.
Hag in My Sleep?
I don't remember. But, yeah, no, that's actually a real documented thing, though. Like,
well, that's great.
Yeah.
Also, I'm super excited about Obi-Wan, and I'm gutted I couldn't get to Star Wars Celebration this year. Have a great week. I'm not upset that I'm not at Star Wars. I think the one time in my life was good enough.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That'll tide you over for all eternity,
yeah.
Kind of thing.
I didn't know Obi-Wan was even out this week. I didn't know all that was going on.
I didn't actually, until you started talking about it, I didn't know Obi-Wan.
My friend Mike V, he texted me today. He's like, you see it yet? Because he always does that. You see it yet? And I'm like, so now I guess I got to go watch this so he'll stop bothering me.
Yeah, yeah. Or before he spoils it for you.
Well, you know, you can't spoil it.
Right, because you already know what happens.
The first movie.
Right.
All the Inquisitors die in the cartoons. Who else dies that I know about?
You know, that's why I never bothered watching Titanic. I knew the end.
Yeah.
So.
Titanic made me cry.
Really?
I'm not afraid to admit that.
I've never seen it. I don't know. I've never seen it.
It made me cry.
I still haven't watched it after all these years.
David D. writes, the subject is Crank Stank is medium and now Eisner nominated. And the body says, go, Crank, that's great. Mike, does this mean you will now be able to show him where the secret grotto is at Comic-Con? No, because after I won my Eisner, I went and bought I gave the Eisner to Alan to walk around all night with, and I went to the store and bought a pint of Ben and Jerry's and went to my hotel room.
Oh, there you go.
So I don't know where the grottos are
Do you have to, like, fit the Eisner into a keyhole, like, to get into the grotto?
Oh, that's a good point, probably.
In turn, like, you know. Is that how that works?
I think they tell you. But also, I left the ceremony early, which is a big no-no, I'm told.
Oh.
And
how's not going?
Yeah, well, I don't think they care if you don't go.
Oh, it's just if you show up and leave early, then?
Yeah, I think they look down upon it. So.
Oh, I see.
Which I can understand. It was kind of a shitty move on my part, but I also didn't want to be there, so.
What an asshole. Jeez.
Yeah.
Who's that guy?
That's it for the emails.
Well, thanks for writing. And thanks you. Thanks you.
Thanks you.
Words is hard. Thank you for the well wishes on the nomination.
Yep.
I'm
still super proud of you.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Anyway. Well, okay. I guess that's us for this week. You can reach us. I'm not even going to bother looking up the comics that are in stores this week because I'd have to go digging for them and it's late.
So. Yeah, it is late. I need to go to bed, actually.
Oh, it's late for you, especially.
Yeah, I go to bed at 10 o'clock, Crank.
Oh, I would have tried to get a hold of you earlier, but I figured you'd be out to dinner or something.
No, we don't go out to dinner. It's still a pandemic, so we don't really go out. We go out when we're on vacation.
Haven't you heard, brother? Pandemic's gone. We're done with it.
Yeah, that's what I've heard, but...
We don't even have to wear masks on airplanes.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I don't.
On big tubes filled with other people's air. We don't have to wear masks.
That's awesome.
All right, so you can reach us at crankcast.com, crankcast@gmail.com. You can go find art at comic art. What?
Cadence? Sure you can find some art at comic art.
Yeah, cadencecomicart.com.
Cadence comic art.
Man, I've been saying that for years. How could I blank on that?
It's bound to happen.
Sure. I mean, it's late and I've been drinking a little bit. So, also, there's battlepug.com and I hate Mike. Did I say I hate Mike.com? Well, I'll say it again. Fuck you. I hate Mike.com. there's also, like, you know, the Twitters and the Instagrams and the Tok Toks and the...
Tok Toks. I like Tok Toks.
All I hear is talk, talk, talk. Mm-hmm. And all that stuff. And we hope you have a good weekend, you know, Memorial Day weekend for that matter. For, you know, our U.S. people, anyway.
Go grill something. I can't grill because my grill has rusted out and I need to get a new one now.
See, if you're going to keep it out on the back porch with, like, you know, slots above it like that, you need to get a cover for the grill, man.
I did get a cover, but I've treated it poorly, so I it's all my fault. So,
Bad grill owner.
I am a bad grill owner, but, you know, I never thought of myself as, you know, I'm not the typical guy that gets off on, you know.
Grilling stuff?
Yeah.
Charred meat.
Yeah. I mean, about. I like charred meat as much as anybody, but I'm not the...
I love me some charred meat. Man, I haven't been able to find JTM burgers in a while. Have you ever had a JTM burger?
I don't know what you're talking about.
See, I don't know if they're a local thing or if they're... Like, if they're regional or if they actually have an extended market past the local stuff. They're like a local one. They're pre-cooked, like, bags of burgers. You still have to cook them, but, like, if you ate them just thawed out, you wouldn't die kind of thing. So they're, like, partially pre-cooked, I guess, or mostly pre-cooked.
That's weird.
But they're really good on the grill. And, you know, JTM, you know, there's jokes about it, like, just a touch of meat kind of thing. And I swear they mix oats in with the meat. But still, I like the taste of it. I don't care. JTMs. But I haven't been able to find them lately. It's like we've had a shortage of them. Anyway. JTM fans will understand my pain.
But there's an uptick in horses lately. There's a lot more horses around here now.
Yeah, they're just wandering around.
I don't understand. It's like there's less burgers, but there's more horses. I don't think there's any. Probably not related at all. But
no, I mean, maybe they ran out of bullets or something. I don't know. Like, because we can't get the Russian import bullets anymore.
That's Ted Cruz's fault.
Anyway, so okay, goodbye.
Bye.